Welcome to Ruby Riders Pegging Paradise podcast number 119 on December 24th, 2015. Changing the world, one ass at a time. So today, all you listeners out there, we have another interview with a first-time pegger. And I'm really excited about this. First-time pegger, not Peggy. So we are going to be talking to Michelle today. Michelle, thank you so much for consenting to do the interview with me.
Thank you for having me.
So Michelle had recently had her very first experience, and that's what we are going to dive into today and talk about all kinds of stuff. So tell me what led up to this and, you know, how long you'd been talking about pegging or thinking about pegging, and tell me that kind of stuff.
Okay. Well, with my ex-husband, we did a lot of anal play. Never got to the point of pegging, but I think it was talked about at some point. We divorced. Mm-hmm. And as a single woman, I met a few people that were interested in pegging, but either I didn't have the equipment yet, or they were looking for like a first-time date peg, which just didn't really work for me. So I bought just kind of a starter harness and some dildos. Like, I want to say probably February of this year.
Wow. So it took you a while.
It took a while. I kept joking that I was saving it for someone special. because I did. I went through a period of, you know, I was just dating for the first time in 20 years. And so I went through a lot of, you know, one or two dates and then move on. Dating situations, and so
not conducive to pegging.
So I'm not opposed to, you know, first date sex. I had plenty of it, but to peg on the first date just didn't work for me.
I'm right with you on that one. And so eventually you found the right person. What made this guy right?
You know, he, from the first time for the first time that he became a sexual partner of mine, I knew him for a few weeks before then, but the first time we got together, he was really good about asking for what he wanted.
Ooh,
and
nice.
He, you know, he shopped my fetish list on FetLife. he was smart. He was well prepared. And so we had been together, I think three times, and we were setting a date, and he said that he had an idea in mind, and I kind of always assumed it would be coming because it was a curiosity of his and a curiosity of mine. And so because he wasn't afraid to ask, we set it up. We negotiated it beforehand and had a plan. So
that's so cool. And so for you listeners who don't know I believe what you said was she shopped your fetish list. Yes. So on FetLife.com, they have an ability to add fetishes. And I believe the true definition of fetish is something that you can't get off unless you do it. But
right, it's used more rather loosely than anything.
Yeah, it's used rather loosely in that term, just sort of like your desires, your kinks. So what's kind of cool about that website is that you can put all the stuff that you're into and people can scan it and say yes, no, yes, no. And if there's enough of an overlap, well, then it's a possibility. So smart guy.
The first date he asked for a prostate massage, and I kind of knew that we might be a pretty good match.
I like it.
Yeah.
And the first date he asked for one, okay, I'm going to be nosy. Did you have first date sex?
Oh yeah, absolutely. No, absolutely. And I was impressed. A, that he knew to shop the list. He said it made it easier for him because he knew what he could feel comfortable asking for.
Nice.
Right. Just from the start, our communication has been really good. So.
Yeah. So you guys out there listening, you know, take some notes here.
Don't be afraid to ask for what you want.
Yeah.
Please, you might get it.
Well, and the communication is just critical. I'm like a broken record saying communication. But this is a perfect example. You know, and what better way to come into the communication than informed? And having looked at your list and knowing that, okay, she's into this, so this would be something that's not going to freak her out.
And it was, these are a list of firsts for him, so he had never had a prostate massage before. I love giving firsts, so.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, it's fun.
So
Was he, let's just talk about the prostate massage then. Mm-hmm. Was he immediately sort of feeling that amazing feeling, or was it something that he had to get used to, or how did that go?
The prostate? No, he was a natural. I think he had played himself a bit, but not had a partner.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was immediately, this is great. I love this feeling.
Sweet.
A lot of feedback.
Did he talk about doing any self-play? Or you?
I'm sure I asked him because I needed to know how slow I needed to go.
Right.
And so I'm assuming that he must have said yes. I can't really recall, but I'm going to guess yes because it went really smoothly. And I've had it with other partners that were not experienced, and some people, went into it right away knowing that they, loved it. Other people weren't so sure because it felt weird to them or too much pressure.
Yeah, and that weird feeling does happen sometimes the first time, especially if you've never had anything in there except what comes out of your body, which
sure.
is why I really
sure.
encourage guys who are interested in this whole method or type of stimulation, this whole area of the body, do some self-exploration because, if you don't do it first, what you're doing is kind of, think about if you go to bed with a woman who's never masturbated before, you want someone to know that part of their body.
Mm-hmm. And be comfortable with you being there.
Mm-hmm. So one of the questions I was going to ask you is who approached whom, but clearly he approached you and he said he had an idea.
Mm-hmm.
And so you guys knew going into the evening, that date that you had, that this is something you were going to do.
Which are you talking about for the pegging date?
Part.
Yes. It was all planned out, negotiated, how the whole scene was going to play out. So
nice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Did you combine it with any kind of BDSM play, that kind of stuff?
There was some power exchange going on. It was a few firsts for him, and the pegging was a first for me. So he had also never experienced being the giver of anal sex.
Okay.
He'd never had anal sex with a woman before.
Uh-huh.
And so we negotiated that we would start with him tapping me.
Uh-huh.
And then it would turn into me tapping him. So he got to experience anal sex from both directions.
Wow.
Yeah.
That man is going to remember that night forever.
I say I've probably ruined him, but...
So what did you do for foreplay? It came to his receiving?
He really wanted me to take more of a dominant role.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not my natural instinct to be dominant. I have moments of where I can see myself doing it, but I didn't have a lot of experience with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of was on the fly. I didn't prepare it like a game plan ahead of time. But I have lots of supplies. So I had a light bulb moment. I jumped up, I grabbed cuffs and cuffed his hands together and blindfolded him because I figured I could up his senses quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then played with like light touch all the way through spanking and biting and rimming and some, finger play just to kind of get everything ready. So
right.
And I kept him blindfolded the whole time, so it took a lot of my anxiety away as far as, what do I look like doing this?
Exactly. That's one of the things I love about blindfolds, is that if you are having that, awkward sort of, okay, what do I do now thing, and you're not really, you don't have the game plan, they can't see that. They can't see you kind of, looking around going, okay, what do I do now?
Yeah. It wasn't really I hadn't planned it, but it worked out really well.
How verbal was he?
He's a very verbal partner.
Mm.
I have a hard time finding men that will make noises.
Yeah.
Or outright tell me what they like and what they don't like. But he's really, really, really responsive. And so he's a lot of fun.
If you could choose one word to encapsulate the whole experience of pegging him and experiencing pegging for the first time, what would that word be?
Privilege.
Wow. That's beautiful. Talk more about that.
Because it requires such a level of vulnerability and trust.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that he would put that in my hands, it meant a lot to me.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree. Mm-hmm.
And I had to do the same. I had been putting this off for, way too long. And I had a girlfriend who had pegged for the first time last New Year's Eve, I believe it was. And uh-huh. she had told me the story, and her story was so great. And she was told, you know, that she fucks like a guy.
That's my compliment.
Yeah, right. I had this bar that I felt like I had to hit to the point that it almost made me not, like, too afraid to do it that I would fail.
Mm.
And so I had to have a partner that I trusted that I could totally screw it up and it would be okay.
Yeah, someone you're comfortable with that it's okay yeah. if you're awkward. It's okay if it doesn't go perfectly.
Yes.
Because that is the far more common first experience as
sure.
opposed to a woman who gets told she fucks like a guy.
Yeah. I mean, I have fucked a lot of asses. I love playing with dildos. Like, I like doing that. I've never done it in a harness before.
Ah.
And so I knew what to do.
Nice.
I didn't know if I knew how to do it with my body.
Yep, exactly. Mm-hmm.
And so I was a little afraid.
And so what was that like when you finally had it strapped on and you're trying to do the right movements? And first, let me ask, what position did you do? What position did you have him in to do that very first penetration?
I had him on his back.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried using a liberator wedge.
Mm-hmm.
We found that it was more comfortable not to use the wedge.
Hmm. It depends on how everything matches up, you know, lines up, the length of your upper thighs.
Sure.
You know, his body, stuff like that. Because for mm-hmm. me, the reason why I kind of went, when you said on his back, oh, missionary is so difficult for me because my legs are unnaturally long from the knee to the hip.
Gotcha.
And just to try and get myself down there, it's like, no.
And I didn't have a plan going into it, how I was going to do it. I knew I kind of wanted to see his expression.
Yes.
But I didn't know how it was all going to play out. And I'd always kind of thought to go easy and have him in like a cowboy. But this is just what worked out. And it worked for our bodies, so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I could lay down towards him and bite on him and things like that. So.
Uh huh. Is he really flexible?
I would say he's pretty flexible. Yeah. He's a young guy. You know, you get him in their 20s and.
Yeah, yeah. They
can do a lot more stuff.
When they're that young.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because missionary really requires a fair amount of flexibility.
Okay. Yeah. Well, he didn't have any problems. So I'm going to say yes.
Nice.
Yeah.
And what was it like? I'm assuming, you know, because I know you've listened to my podcast and things like
mm-hmm.
that. What was it like when you were watching his face when you penetrated him for the first time?
Well, I had him blindfolded, so I couldn't see his eyes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was the one downside. I look forward to doing this again and not having the blindfold involved.
Yes.
You know, I don't know. Like, I don't really have, like, I think I was just probably just proud of myself and maybe more worried. I think I was more worried about, is the harness going to work right? Because I didn't put a lot of money into my harness.
Uh-huh.
And I'd actually had friends borrow it from me and use it, but I hadn't used it myself.
Uh-huh.
And so I was just more worried, I think, that everything was going to work the way I wanted it to.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't say I really took in that moment.
Well, especially within blindfold, it's a good point, you know, that takes
yeah.
off the expression.
Sure, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Doing it missionary, did you try any other positions?
We did not.
Okay. So, with that whole pegging experience in missionary position, mm-hmm. did he have an orgasm? What happened?
He had an orgasm. He did not ejaculate.
Mm-hmm.
But that's pretty common for him due to medication, so.
Uh-huh.
I'd say it was just pretty much a normal situation for us.
And was it like an internal, was there any cock stimulation at all when he had the orgasm?
I don't think so.
Wow. So he was really quite responsive enough to that prostate stimulation.
I think I was biting him, honestly.
You were biting him?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that I was biting him at the time. So.
Well, that might have been what kicked him over the top.
No, he definitely responds to pain.
I see.
So we both do. So, yeah.
How fun.
Mm-hmm.
So what was the part of the experience that you enjoyed the most?
Afterwards.
Mm.
We laid there in bed, and I think both of us said that it was the most fun we'd ever had in bed.
Ooh, that's quite a recommendation.
I knew it was my favorite time that I've ever had, and for him to say the same thing, it was just... I don't know, like it was just really great. Like mm-hmm. we really enjoyed ourselves. It was just a lot of fun and the pressure wasn't high and I don't know, it was just really easy.
I find it just fascinating that you actually had him do you first.
Mm-hmm. That was his idea. I mean, mm-hmm. I was okay with it. I'd seen on his fetish list that he was curious.
Sure.
And so I was happy to give that experience to him and to have it all wrapped up into our pegging experience.
Mm-hmm.
It was fun. So.
Yeah, I think the reason that I find it so fascinating is because I'm so much more dominant and less switchy. Mm.
See, we're both like switchy. We're both switchy. So we do this in our limited experience together. We definitely switch back and forth during our play. So
mm-hmm.
It just was pretty natural.
Mm-hmm. Was there anything about the experience that you didn't enjoy?
No.
No.
I mean, really, it was a really great night. Absolutely nothing. Nothing did I not enjoy. I mean,
I can hear
great.
It in your voice. It's like, I hear the little glow, the after.
Oh, yeah, I'm smiling. I'm still smiling about that event because it was really, really great.
And how long ago was this?
2 weeks ago.
Wow.
Yeah. He's fun, though. He's a really fun partner.
By the way, do a little commercial. Tell people the blog and who you are and what
sure.
you're about. And do a little commercial here for us.
I'm Michelle Renee. I blog at sexaftermarriage.org. I write a lot about my experience after being married for 18 years. And I'm playing in the poly world and the kink world. And I write a lot about it as honestly as I can, being that I don't write anonymously. So.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, it was one of the questions that I asked Michelle when I first got her on. It's like, are we going to use your real name? She goes, oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I own who I am. It comes with probably some downsides, but overall, I think authenticity is really important for me, and I don't know, it works enough.
That seems to be a continuing theme through your blog. I know that I write about a lot of different things. I write erotic. I write a bunch of stuff, and occasionally when I do write those really authentic, this is my life, this is what's going on in my life type of blog posts, inevitably I always get a few people saying, thank you for showing us the human side of yourself.
I figured out the way that I can do it the best is to not blog about necessarily things as they're happening, but waiting until I come up with maybe a conclusion or a way that I solve a problem and then talk about it afterwards.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I can wrap it up in maybe not a pretty bow, but a bow. And I always get my partner's consent, even though I don't out them per se. People
mm-hmm.
in my life know who I'm talking about. And so by writing how things work out,
mm-hmm.
it works for everybody.
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do something very, very similar. And the only time I've had talking about partners backfire on me was way later in the game. And I guess what happened is someone that I spent a fun 3 months with and wrote about a fair amount, and he had a code name and everything,
mm-hmm.
found a new partner. She somehow discovered that this was him and wanted all those blog posts taken down. And I said, I'm so sorry, but no.
Yeah, I haven't had that. I haven't had that come up, and I hope that it doesn't come up. And honestly, it was easier to write my blog when I wasn't dating anybody seriously.
Sure.
When you start getting into like longer-term relationships, there's more to write about,
sure.
but it's harder to write about. And this is when I go, gosh, I really wish I had an anonymous blog. Because there's a lot of things I think are really important to write about, and I just can't.
Mm-hmm.
But
it reminds me of Dan Savage, who basically, you know, pretty periodically, regularly says, yeah, so my agreement with my husband is that I can't talk about our sex life, you know.
Right.
Because he said, you know, you can have me, but you can't write and talk about me. It's not going to happen.
Right.
So.
Yeah. And I don't write explicitly about my sex life. And the pegging experience I did... you heard more about it on your podcast than I did on my blog.
I know, I'm privileged.
I write more about relationship stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes it a little bit easier because it's not quite so personal.
Yeah, it's not quite so exposing, especially about a proclivity that is still quite taboo in much of society.
Yeah, but I like to shock people a little bit too. So
I know that about you. I like that.
So writing about pegging is, you know, I wish more people would explore that. And so I have to do it once in a while. I have to write about this taboo stuff a little bit because...
Well, that's one of the next questions I have for you.
Mm-hmm.
What would you tell, let's separate it this time. Usually I ask it in both genders, but let's separate it and say, what would you tell other women who are thinking about trying this?
Well, I guess what I do is I make it clear to all of my partners that it's an interest of mine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also, I do it with a lot of things in my sex life. Like if I really like bisexual men, I make that known whether they're bi or not.
Mm-hmm.
If everyone knows that I'm into ass play, so whether it be pegging or fingers, you know, prostate massage, what have you, I let them know. Like, so I'm kind of blunt about that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they can sign up for it or they cannot sign up for it. And there's plenty of partners that I've had that are not into it. And that's okay.
Right. So that's addressed to the women who are already totally all about asses, like you and me.
Yeah.
And what about
just
women
be out
who,
there about it.
Yeah, what about women who are not really sure? Like they're thinking about exploring it. Maybe they've been approached by their partner to do pegging and they're not really sure. What would you tell those women?
I would start with maybe fingers. First I would say if your partner's approached you and you're curious, try it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can always just not do it if you don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not sure if you liked it, then try it again.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got a partner that's already expressed their interest in it, then that's half the battle.
I know, for us, yeah.
I mean, and if they haven't expressed interest in it, they probably are curious and they're afraid to say it.
That can be a really fun thing, is exploring something brand new both at the same time, too.
Mm-hmm. And I think there is actually an app somewhere online or a website where the couples can fill out their interests separately and it only tells them what their matches were?
Yes, that's called mojoupgrade.com. M-O-J-O, Mojo Upgrade. It's not really well maintained, so the site goes up and down all the time. If you manage to get in there at the right time, it is a wonderful thing because it'll allow you to fill out what you're interested in and separately your partner fills out what they're interested in. The only things that show up on the final list are where you or your partner said yes or maybe.
Sure.
And if there's a no on either side, that just doesn't show up on the list.
Right. Which I prefer everybody just have open, honest communication, but I know not everybody's ready for that.
Well, that would entail going through each and every one of those and saying, so are you into this? And talk about
I think that sounds
scary.
Like a great date.
You see it as a great date.
I would do it over coffee.
Yeah.
But that's just me.
And other people see it as a super scary conversation.
Right. You know? But I guess that's the difference between I'm in the kink world and we negotiate things all the time.
Yes.
And pretty much anything can be talked about. And so I don't know.
I love that about the kink community.
Yeah.
So what would you tell men who are thinking about trying this? Like say men who have never really had anal stimulation and they're hearing us talk about this and they're like, what would you tell them?
To try it by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And if they decide that it's something that they like, I would take it to my partner. I would hope they'd have a relationship where that was something they could talk about.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me really sad when people can't talk about their fantasies or their desires or their interests.
Me too. I get approached by men who want to know how to talk to their partner about it or how to talk them into it is usually what they're most interested in.
Yeah, how do you talk them into it? Yeah.
And then my very first question is, well, can you guys talk in bed? And sometimes I get the answer, no, we don't talk in bed. And I say, okay, mm-hmm. then you need to back up here and put that on the shelf for a while and work on communication, because my rule is if you can't talk about it, you shouldn't be doing it.
Yeah.
And some guys say, well, we'd never be having sex.
Right.
They're like, unfortunately, what I think is the typical couple where you have sex, but you just don't talk about it.
Yeah. And I used to be like that. I used to be in a marriage that was like that. But I always thought it was because we got together too young to where we hadn't flexed those muscles yet.
Mm.
And it created a lot of bad habits.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're outside of that and you can start things from scratch with other people, it's just one of my priorities is we have to be able to communicate. And especially yes. dealing in the poly world, you know, communication in that world and the kink world are just huge. So
that's imperative, yeah.
Communication in my life has to happen. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, every problem that gets brought to me from anybody else around me is like, well, communication is pretty much the answer.
Yeah, so, they make jokes about that on Reddit, in the Reddit sex forum.
Okay.
You know, it's like people have all of these questions about all these stuff, and so much of the time it's like, yeah, communicate with each other, you know?
Yeah, you got to be able to trust your partner to be able to, they need to be able to say no. Like if you come to them with something, you have to feel comfortable that they can take care of themselves and they can say no, mm-hmm. but that they can handle what you need to say. And I don't know, I always like read Mahalko's tips on how to handle uncomfortable conversations.
Yes. I love his thing about step into the awkward.
Yeah. And you know, put out there what your fear is. And mm-hmm. I think that's one of my go-to links I send to people all the time. So.
Mm-hmm. Having made that transition from, and it sounds like you've done the same thing, made mm-hmm. the transition from being a person who just doesn't talk in bed at all. And, mm-hmm. you know, that experience for me was like wishing that the magic guy would come along and just know what I wanted, you know.
Yeah, read your mind.
Yeah, eventually the right guy's going to come along. He's going to read my mind and it's all going to be hunky-dory, right?
Mm-hmm.
From going from there to actually learning how to open my mouth for the very first few times, which was, talk about super scary. Oh my God. It was like I felt frozen. The words just wouldn't
practice.
Come out. And then
mm-hmm.
I would just take a deep breath and I would make them come out. Mm-hmm. And it was just petrifying. Going from there to now where I just talk about what I want and I say what I want. I'm really honest and I just put it all out there. It's a journey and it sometimes feels really difficult when you first open up your mouth, but oh my God, I never want to be that person laying there hoping the magic guy comes along who can read my mind anymore.
You know what I love is when I say what I want and a guy says, I don't know how to do that. Will you teach me?
Ooh.
And I'm like, yes. But I get to practice teaching somebody how to do something and I get to say, you know, here's another person in the world that knows how to do this now. That's great. And the fact that they'll ask me to do that is probably a key that they can communicate.
Yes. I also like the kink principle, at least I think this is where I first encountered it, that you need to be able to trust a person's no. So you need to be able to trust that a person's going to stand up for themselves, take care of themselves.
Yes.
And if something's really uncomfortable, they're not feeling right about something, they will stand up and say, okay, time out, let's hold on, which is a form of no. Because if mm-hmm. you can trust them to take care of themselves like that, mm-hmm. then you know that when it's a yes, it's a hell yes.
Yes. And that's part of, I've had a number of younger partners ask me a lot about how to navigate consent.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And like how to navigate it, how much do they need to navigate it through the like say the first time you get together with someone.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there's the opening elevator speech kind of thing. But then how long into the experience do you need to keep the consent, you know, asking, is it okay if I do this? Is it okay if I do this?
Mm-hmm.
And I've said, you know, for me, I would rather you ask me, how is your no? Like, can I trust that if I'm doing something and I haven't asked, mm-hmm. that you're going to jump in and say no, and I'm going to be okay with that?
Mm-hmm.
Because it isn't always feasible to ask every little step. But if
right.
I know that my partner is okay saying no and they can advocate for themselves,
mm-hmm.
that makes it a lot more relaxed.
Right. And it can ruin the moment too. It can be a little like, I don't know, just ruin the moment. I can't think of any other way to say it when it's like every single step, you know.
It certainly makes it difficult. Now, I will say that I have people that think that the elevator speech ruins the moment. And I'm like, the hottest I've ever had was somebody giving me the elevator speech.
Mm-hmm.
You know, having me pressed against the wall, kissing me and going over his safer sex protocols, over his partner status, you know, all these things that you might not think are super sexy. But in that moment, as a sex geek, I was like, oh my gosh, this is so hot.
Yeah, well, combining it with being pressed up against the wall and being kissed.
Yeah,
okay, I'm
right?
taking notes here, Michelle.
I know, right? That's fun stuff right there.
Well, I recently played with a man that... he was a little skittish. We had negotiated a scene with some impact play, and he was a little skittish. And he had not had some good experiences before, not necessarily that his boundaries were crossed, but it wasn't necessarily enjoyable, and he was trying to find a way for it to be enjoyable.
Impact so, play not being enjoyable, or?
Impact play, yeah.
Okay.
Impact play. So mm-hmm. one of the things I asked him is, well, on a scale of 1 to 10, you know, 10 being so much pain you immediately have to stop, where do you want to go tonight? You know, mm-hmm. what number do you want to go to? And he said, well, you know, we just met, so I'm thinking 2 or 3. And I'm thinking, ooh, smart guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I get him to that point with a variety of different things that we did. And it was clear that he was really enjoying himself and wanted to keep going forward. And I kind of put my mouth next to his ear and I said, but right now we're at a 2 to 3 and this is where you want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, okay, I'm trusting you more. So I think I'd like to up that. Bingo. There we go.
Smart guy.
So yeah, communication, negotiation. And for any of you out there listening who are not in the kink world, this is what's magic about it, and it's not like an effort to try and talk you into exploring it, but it's not a bunch of crazy people hitting themselves with things and doing weird things. There's
no.
so much communication and so much negotiation that it's a pretty remarkable group of people, actually, that I think have a healthier way of dealing with normal relationships than most people.
I have learned more sitting in DS discussion groups about relationships
mm-hmm.
than anything else.
Mm-hmm. And DS is dominant submissive.
Yeah, sitting in there and thinking how many of my vanilla friends would benefit from mm-hmm. listening to this discussion, because it just resonates outside of kink.
Sure, because it doesn't have to be kink things that you're negotiating.
No. Mm-hmm.
If you are a couple who likes vanilla sex, and I don't use that word at all derogatorily, you know, whatever
yeah.
you're into is what you're into. And if you,
I don't even know what vanilla sex is, honestly.
Well, that's just it. It's just a label. But if you're not into the BDSM kinky stuff, still, these methods of negotiation and consent and communication would benefit every single combination of any gender that decided to do something sexual.
And accepting your dynamics.
Explain.
Like, if you need to figure out who is the dominant in your relationship.
Hmm.
And just knowing what your role is, I think, makes things go a lot smoother.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes when you find out that new role,
mm-hmm.
the first time you try and step into it, which was kind of portrayed when you were talking about, okay, you know, I didn't have my game plan on and he wanted me to be dominant.
Mm-hmm.
That
I found it.
You did, yes.
I did.
That first time when you're kind of stepping into it, and it's like, okay, I've read erotica, I've maybe watched porn where people are dominant, but it's still that difficulty of saying, okay, how are these words going to come out of my mouth? You know,
mm-hmm.
what's going to happen now? What am I going to say? What am I going to do? And it's just a matter of practice.
It's finding the right attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say, I listened 2 days later, I had to drive to Chicago. And I was catching up on my Pegging Paradise podcast. and you had an episode recently where you gave like a whole bunch of like fun scenarios or something.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember exactly what you were talking about, but I was thinking in my head, oh man, I need to like pull over and make a list of like, like a cheat sheet.
I remember that because that was
yeah.
the woman who wrote in, and they had had a lovely initial experience with pegging, but then it kind of degraded for a number of reasons, and he wanted her to be dominant.
Yes, yes, and you were giving her ideas.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she wrote me privately and said, oh my God, great ideas.
Yeah, I need to re-listen to it and make notes.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes you need inspiration.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I have a friend of mine who is a phone sex operator. So
mm-hmm.
talk about ideas, Jesus. She's
yeah.
got so many different scenarios, and I'm like, you are so creative. She said, well, it's the work that I do, you know?
I have a friend on Facebook that I met at Sex Geek Summer Camp who is a escort.
Mm-hmm.
And their Facebook statuses, A, are hilarious, but B, give me some really interesting ideas at times.
Yes, yes.
Having a varied group of people in your life is, you know, everybody's benefit, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let's see if we missed anything here. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about regarding this whole experience? Anything you wanted to describe?
I think I'm glad that I waited until I had the right partner.
Ah.
Because I think back about the men that had asked me to do it.
Uh-huh.
And I just can't see it going as well as it has gone with this one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm really happy that I waited. And this sounds like such a purity thing, doesn't it?
That's why it's
making
hysterical.
A commercial for a purity ring.
Yeah, it's hysterical in combination with the pegging.
I know, right? I really think that waiting for the right person, as a single woman, and I know you talk to a lot of people that are coupled in relationships, I wouldn't consider myself that.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, it's been a little more difficult finding the right partner.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wrote an article some time back about pegging and intimacy because that's just the way I see it. Mm-hmm. And if there's one thing I've learned on my blog, it's that how I see it is not necessarily how other people see it.
Sure.
Because I can't remember whether I copied the article onto FetLife or I put a link to my blog, but all kinds of people chimed in and said, yes, it is a very intimate thing because it's like having sex.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a very intimate act. But sure enough, a guy leaves a comment and says, well, for you it is. But, you know, mm-hmm. my BDSM dynamic that turns me on is kind of to be treated like a thing, mm. like a furniture.
Sure.
And for her to have her fun with me. And so if there's intimacy, it actually ruins it for me.
Mm.
Wow. Okay. Now let
yeah,
me just...
and now that I've done it, I may be okay with trying that method of it with just more casual play partner. I certainly get plenty of that type of man that approaches me through FET or through the community or whatnot.
That's when you pulled the ball gag out, right?
Yeah, right. And that's another experience that I'll probably try it sometime just because that's kind of what I do is I try new stuff. So
mm-hmm.
I would never want to say I had the opportunity and didn't take it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm glad for my first time that it worked out this way.
Oh, I know what I want to ask. So what about your orgasm? Let's talk about your orgasm during this whole wild, fun night.
I'm trying to remember. I did not have an orgasm from pegging.
Mm-hmm.
I found it extremely fun. I think I could in another position, possibly.
Mm-hmm. Or with better equipment.
Or with different equipment, sure.
Mm-hmm.
I think I had an orgasm when we were having anal sex.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Because I was on top, because that's how I like to do it.
Nice.
Because that's the only way I can have an orgasm from anal sex.
Mm-hmm.
But in the pegging itself, no orgasm for me.
Mm-hmm.
But lots of fun.
Well, yeah, I'm right there with you. Part of my thing is that I don't have that consistent partner.
Yeah.
So the consistent partner where you can try all the different, because God knows I have all the toys.
Yeah. And I've really struggled in the single world finding the right partner.
Mm-hmm.
It's not been as easy as I thought it would be.
Hmm.
So this one right now, I'm really hoping he sticks around. And I think I've probably left enough carrots that he probably isn't going anywhere anytime soon. But, what can I do? I can't control it. But
mm-hmm.
He's enjoying himself. I'm enjoying myself. So hopefully we can keep, experimenting. We're both pretty experimental. So
mm-hmm.
lots of new stuff is happening.
One of the toys that, if you're really clitorally responsive, that I would recommend is the single dildo that Fuse makes, because the base of that, I'm going to put a link of it up when I post this podcast. The base of it is kind of sort of like teardrop shaped-ish, mm-hmm. but the point of it is that shape will fit just perfectly right into, mm-hmm. The vaginal lips area.
Mm-hmm.
And all the Fuse toys have a vibe option.
Mm-hmm.
So even those singles have a little slot for the vibe, and it's really well placed so that there's not that much silicone between the vibe and the clitoral area.
Okay.
Just
now that I know I like it, I will certainly be investing in better equipment. I did invest in good dildos because I knew I would use those for other things.
With your hand and all kinds of stuff, yeah.
Yeah, I got a few different things from Tantus.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
But the harness, I went on the cheaper side, and I'm a plus size girl, so I don't know if it felt like my options were a bit more limited. So I went with the Sport Sheets Diva,
mm-hmm.
or Divine Diva.
Those are pretty decent ones. The plus size ones out of Sport Sheets are actually pretty good for plus size. Absolutely.
Yeah, and it wasn't super expensive. So, and I could try it and see if I liked it. So.
Mm-hmm. Was it comfortable?
I don't know. I felt like I didn't get a lot of support.
Hmm.
And so that's where I was really nervous. I didn't know how everything would work because it didn't feel like there was a lot of support for the dildo.
Mm-hmm.
But it worked fine.
So you couldn't quite cinch it down as tight as you would have liked, is what it sounds
like. Oh, not at all. No, I could cinch the harness down. I just felt like the dildo had too much play in it.
Interesting.
Because it didn't, it seemed really heavy for the harness.
Huh.
I don't know.
Well, good feedback. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't have anything to compare it to, so I can't say what's normal. But
there's so many different harness options out there. I know a few podcasts back, there was a woman who her boyfriend really liked very, very large anal toys because he'd been doing anal play, especially his...
Oh, you did like a scarf thing,
yes.
Didn't you?
Yeah, Midori has a scarf harness thing. And it's funny because Tantus was so sweet as to send me the hoss, right?
Oh, we have a mutual friend that wants that.
Yep. And so I'm going to get those two 60-inch long scarves and see what I can do.
Nice.
Yeah. So, Michelle, thank you so much for talking with me about this. It's really kind of a special time and really a thrill for me to talk to someone who just experienced pegging for the first time. So it's just been great having you here and being willing to answer all of these really personal questions.
Well, it was months ago that you offered it to me and I said I had to do it first.
That's right. I think we crossed paths on Facebook and you're like, yeah, I'm so into this. I'm like, oh, I need to talk to you.
Yeah, and I'm like, but I haven't done it yet.
Now, was I a motivator? Was part of that a motivator?
Well, absolutely. It was a goal. I mean, it was a nice goal to have that I knew I'd be able to talk about it with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, your podcast has been a motivator, so.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Glad to hear it. Well, thanks for coming on the show. And please feel free to come back anytime. I think one of the most amazing things for guys who are into this, since there are so few women really who know about it, love it, and have a passion for it, is to hear women talk about how much they like it.
Sure.
So if you have an experience in the future that you want to call me up and talk about it, I am happy to do another audio thing with you and put it out there for the guys to hear because it encourages them. It makes them feel better. It makes them have hope that they're going to find a woman who loves to do this because we're out there, guys.
I want women to hear that other women enjoy doing it. So,
yes,
you know, it needs to be talked about.
Yes. Well, that's why I did two podcasts for anybody listening here. I did two podcasts and one was all the stories from women about what they love about this. And I believe that was podcast 115. But the other thing I did was a podcast for the women to listen to. And that was specifically meant for men who are really interested in this, but they're kind of a little bit scared to approach their partner. And rather than sitting down and negotiating every single point of pegging as an introductory thing, that's what that podcast was meant for. So the guy approaches her, says, you know what, I'm really kind of into this. Why don't you listen to this and it'll give you more information? Because I go over everything. But I think the most amazing thing is that what you've got when a guy approaches you about this is you have someone who was actually brave enough to bring up one of their kinks and tell you. And that is just a huge thing.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And it always deserves gratitude and it always needs to be recognized and valued for what it is, which is they are sharing a deeper part of themselves with you. So really, it's a gift of intimacy.
Absolutely.
Well, so once again, Michelle, thank you so much for joining me here and answering all of my questions and telling your story. Really happy to have you. And for all my listeners, please do go to sexaftermarriage.org and check out Michelle's blog. She's got a lot of really cool stuff there. More about relationship type of stuff, but also just about her journey after being married all those years, like she mentioned. So go check it out. And anybody who's listening that wants to do an interview with me along these lines, I welcome interviews from women who love pegging, from men who love pegging, from couples who love pegging, first experiences, long-time peggers, long-time peggies, you name it. Give me a call, write me a message,
and let's schedule something and get an interview happening, because the more the merrier here, folks. We all like to talk about it. On Twitter, you will find me at Ruby_writer. On Facebook, I have a page and a profile. If you like my page, I get a thrill, I guarantee you. If you go to my blog on the left-hand corner, you can subscribe to it there. And as I've always said, I post all kinds of way cool things on that blog that never show up on my podcast, including all the links about stuff I talk about, as well as really, really sexy pictures, okay? That's, if there's no other reason to go to my blog, if you're a really visual person, oh hell, go there for the pictures. Or you can listen to these podcasts through iTunes. If you don't want to do the iTunes evil machine, you can also download them on a whole variety of podcast downloader apps. When you check out the products I talk about by following my links on the Linkorama, please do remember to use the code Ruby for 20% off. And you can call me at 805-500-6544 with all your questions, comments, successes, fears, wonderings, stories, and adventures. Or you can write those words down and send them to me, ruby@peggingparadise.com. Thank you for downloading and listening. You're all the best. Happy pegging.